And our Bible reading is in John's Gospel, chapter 4. John chapter 4. And we come to the last part of the chapter. As I mentioned before, I'm trying to fill in some of the blanks of my preaching in the book of John. And the woman of Samaria was a topic for Mother's Day. And I've preached a number of times on that one. And so we come to the end of the chapter and to the nobleman's son. We'll begin our reading at verse 39. Verse 39, we'll commence our reading. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." The nobleman saith unto him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." Jesus saith unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, "Yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Welcome again, as always, to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Canada. This is Ian Gallagher, my privilege to bring the message of God's Word today. And we're turning to John's Gospel, chapter 5, that section that we have read. And we're looking at this account of this nobleman, a man of some riches and fame, and yet he recognized that the answer to the deathly state of his son was in the Lord Jesus. And so off he went, and he arrived at Cana of Galilee, found the Savior, and called upon him to heal his son. Now the Lord didn't go to his home, he just spoke the word. And it is the power of the Lord's word that is in demonstration. And we need to recognize that the Lord Jesus works by the power of his word in creation. He spoke the word. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He commanded all the world into existence. And the Lord Jesus, by the word of his power, is at work today in this world. And if you look to the Lord Jesus and trust in his word, you will know his blessing, you will know his salvation, and he can command that your sins are forgiven. He can command that you are given power to live in a new life. And many people who struggle trying one thing and another yet feel need the power of the Lord. So stay tuned as we go to our pulpit ministry to let the Bible speak. Prayer again with our open Bibles, having read this section of your word, this second miracle which Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. O Lord, we thank thee that thou art indeed the miracle worker, but thou hast called us to believe not only in your power of miracles, but in your saving grace. Lift our hearts to Calvary today. Give us faith in the blood of the Lamb. And O Lord, work in grace in every heart. Help in the preaching of thy word, but also in the receiving of it. And we pray that we may be doers of thy word to bring glory to your great name. We ask this earnestly in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. John chapter 4, and this account of the nobleman's son being healed. Everything in this world has a history. This week, I was talking to some of my fellow ministers on a Skype meeting, and some things fell to my lot because I had a history of involvement. And so I tried to plead that I wished the right to be forgotten, but it didn't work. If you have that link to something, it's undeniable. And everything in this world has a history. As it said, nothing comes from nothing. Life is like links in a chain. And the train track that goes from one city to the next city, well, each reel is laid in a certain direction, linking the railway all to its destination. Everything in life is interconnected, and we have to join the dots. Now, this journey of the nobleman from his home where his son was sick unto death all the way to Cana of Galilee, this journey which you can see him taking physically, but it was also a journey of faith. And we'll get into that, but it was because of the history of what had taken place already in Cana of Galilee. That first miracle of Jesus there, turning the water into wine. And of course, when that wedding was over and everybody was satisfied and went home, you might have thought, well, that's the end of that miracle, that history's all over. But no. When this nobleman, who was some kind of royal figure in Judea, when this wealthy man's son had this death-threatening fever, he remembered the miracle that was taken or granted in Cana of Galilee. I'm not sure he was there, but I don't think anybody in Galilee would not have heard the news of how the Lord Jesus turned those six water pots of pure water into the best wine. That was a miracle that was talked and spread around. And so when this man was in dire straits of worry and concern about his son, his thoughts went to the man who wrought that miracle in Cana of Galilee. We read here that at this time, the Lord went to Cana. There he was to be found. Now, a little bit of geography might help because I myself had to get the map out and take a look at this. Cana is inland. It is nowhere near the coast. It's not near the Lake of Galilee. It's somewhere in the middle. And it's about 10 miles north of Nazareth. We read here that Jesus discovered that a prophet has no honor in his own country. He did not minister much, if at all, in Nazareth, because there, well, everybody knew this Jesus, and they gave him no honor. But in Cana of Galilee, his fame had already spread. And so when there, this nobleman made the trip, he made the journey to Cana of Galilee. Now, he definitely did the right thing, because we know the end result. We know the miracle, we know how the boy was delivered, and that through the Father seeking out the help, the healing power of the Lord Jesus, his son was raised to life. And what a happy moment that must have been. You read off there in verse 50, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." Now, it had been the thought in the mind of the nobleman, "Come to my house. Maybe you need to perform something, lay hands on him, or take some kind of healing means and apply it to the boy. Do something physically." But a bit like, you remember the story of Naaman, the king of Syria that was healed? And when he arrived at the door, he didn't come out and do anything. He just told him to go and wash. And in a like way, the Lord didn't do anything. He just spoke the word to him, said, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And so you can imagine that the homeward trip, 15 miles about, it probably took him maybe 4 hours or a lot less, because now there was a jump to a step because he had the excitement. The Lord spoke the word, and sure enough, here came the servants on their way to meet their master, to give him the good news that at the 7th hour of the day, the fever just left him. It didn't just diminish, it didn't just cool down, it just gone. An instant, dramatic, sudden healing. And it was undoubtedly the power of the Lord. Now, as I said, I want us to follow the journey of this man's faith, because it didn't all light upon him at once. You have the awakening of his faith by the trouble of his son's near death. Then there's the alarm against false faith, where the Lord warned him against believing in signs and wonders. He also discovered the foundation of his faith. The Lord spoke the word. And then you have the confirmation of his faith. When he went back, met the servants who were full of excitement, when he saw his own son, and when his whole household believed. That was a tremendous confirmation of faith. Now, as we look into this journey of this nobleman's faith, of course, I would ask that you have that same manner of belief, that you too come to put your trust in the Lord. So let's look at the awakening of faith. And we see here this boy lying on a bed, a raging fever. And we know too that he was at the point of death. Now, a little thought before we get into this, and that is, the rich have their troubles just as much as the poor in this world. Do not think that money, wealth, or authority can deliver you from the sorrows of this world. Death cuts down the rich just as much as the poor. Sickness enters into the millionaire's home just as much as to the cottager. Now, this situation, this alarm concerning the welfare of his son, awakened within the heart of this nobleman a memory of the man of Cana who had turned the water into wine. And no doubt the news had traveled and had reached right there into his area of Capernaum. And in his desperation, he said, "What about going and asking that man Jesus to come down here and see my boy and somehow touch him or heal him and help in some way. But it took that trouble to poke this nobleman into a sense of his need. And that's how it is in life. In every one of us, there is this inner sense of our own invincibility, that trouble will never come to my door, that I will never even have to think about death and eternity and those of my loved ones that face these things. The reality is that this is a world of trouble. It's a world where there is sickness, disease, and death to follow. And in the midst of these things, so often the Spirit of God awakens a chord, a note of alarm goes off to bring a soul, maybe your soul, out of that sleep of sin, that self-confidence, that thought, I've got my money, I've got my riches, I've got comfort and security in life. I don't need a Savior. And so suddenly when these things come, and they happen to the rich as the poor, and they work deep conviction. Now, what is your trouble? In Canada, we have one of the best health systems in the world, not only in its expertise, but in its accessibility. When someone faces a medical emergency, there is the best of help to all. And yet, maybe during the ride in the ambulance, maybe on the gurney on the way to the OR, that sense of your need and your vulnerability is awakened, and you are brought to recognize your need of a Savior. And it is in those times that sin cries out against you, and you have no peace. Now that is, of course, the great ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is come, He will convict of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. And we pray for that. As a church, we pray for that. In our prayer meetings, we pray for that ministry of the Holy Spirit to work in the hearts of those who are asleep in sin, those who live in their self-confidence, thinking that they are all safe in this world, that they may be brought to the point somehow by the Spirit of God and awakened to seek the Lord. Perhaps we're praying for you. Some we pray by name, some we pray by family, some we pray for in the community, and of course we pray generally for Canada, that this nation will be awakened to their need of the Savior. But that is the first step in the journey. And if you do not recognize your urgent need, well, how can you call yourself a believer in the Lord Jesus? Now, in verse 48, you'll notice the alarm against false faith. Jesus said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Now, the man obviously had been asking for a miracle for his son, and the Lord was warning against seeking signs and wonders as the source of his faith. Now, no doubt, signs and wonders impress. And no doubt, that miracle that had taken place in Cana of Galilee, in turning the water into wine, it impressed. And it elevated this man, Jesus, to the talking point of the country. But it's not faith in the miracles and the wonders, but it is faith in the wonder worker himself that is required. And we need to get our hearts and minds and souls fixed on the Lord Jesus. Now, this is a very important matter because in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and especially toward the end of his ministry, Matthew 24, he warned, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And so these signs and wonders, they can be misused. They can be applied to the wrong people, and sometimes the wrong people, the bad player, uses them for their own ends. And so the Lord speaks to this man a word of warning. And the warning is that faith does not rest on outward signs, but in the living person of the Son of God. Now, by nature, men want to see signs and wonders, and many say, I will not believe until I see. Now, that's carnal, human unbelief. I will not believe until I see. And how many do we find in the Bible that were exactly in that category? Even the rich man who opened his eyes in hell, he pleaded that his brethren would be sent to warn, that his brethren would be warned by someone sent, raised from the dead. And the answer was that if they do not believe Moses and the prophets, the word of God, neither shall they believe even if one came and spoke after rising from the dead. And of course, Jesus did rise from the dead, and men are still filled with unbelief. And so what they really want is multiplied miracles. And they want it to be in their presence today in their own eyeshot. They want to see it for themselves. It's not enough that it's recorded in history or in the Bible. They want to see something right before their eyes. Now, this was a strong rebuke to this nobleman. And it, I'm sure, was a punch that set him back wondering what's going on here, because the Lord recognized this was a real danger. And so we must take the warning. Are you a Christian because of what you get? Are you a Christian because of the benefits? Or are you a Christian because you believe in the person, the man Christ Jesus? That's the question that comes up here. That's the judgment call, the examination of your own heart and faith. Is it faith in the Son of God, or is it a personal fanaticism on religious things? There's the difference. And I trust you can sort that one out, and that you can say that whatever it costs me, and you're asked to take up the cross and follow Christ. You're asked to deny yourself the things of this world. You're asked to even lay down your body, because your body, well, it's going to the grave anyway, but your soul is eternal, and you need your faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, let's get a balance here, because there's something we don't want to deny, and that is that Jesus did do miracles, and that it did elevate him to a tremendous height, and it did corroborate and become a complementary part of his ministry. The Lord Jesus did miracles. You remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus came by night to ask Jesus, and we know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man doeth these miracles which thou doest, except God be with him. And so Jesus is the miracle worker. And the miracles are meant to direct us to Christ as Savior. So, where do we make the distinction? Where do we make the difference? Don't stop at looking for some fanatical thing. Don't stop until your heart is fixed in that Christ was sent by God, and he is the true Savior of the world.
Far away on distant shores, many souls are in despair, for their hearts are saddened, weighted down with sin. And their tear-stained faces plead for relief from all their care, persecution from without and fear within. No man careth for my soul. Christ can save their souls and set them free. Poor lost souls with blinded eyes, grope about in sin's dark night, kneeling down before their gods of wood and stone. Can we see them dying there, still denied the gospel light? Let them go into eternity alone. No man careth for my soul. Thus cry the millions. No man careth for my soul. Oh, hear their plea. Won't you give your life today to spread the gospel so that Christ can save their souls and set them free?
Thank you for being a part of Let the Bible Speak today. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If I can be of any personal help, I'm only a phone call away, or send me an email. Would love to hear from you, and of course, if you're in the Vancouver area, please come along to our church services. We'd be delighted to see you there. Now, we have literature and booklets, messages, both online and in hard copy. You can go to our website and read off them there, or we can mail one to you. Whatever we can do to make sure that you seek God's salvation. There is power in the name of Jesus, and these messages in John chapter 5 are all intended to demonstrate the power of the Son of God to save sinners and bring you into peace with God. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.